Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuvot Sadi Test 99. We're here in the 11th parak of the Masechta, discussing mostly almana, issues regarding the widow and exactly how to care for the widow and the entitlements that she receives, and a little more discussion regarding debt collection. But in the meantime, however, as you'll see, today's daf is going to be a little bit off the topic of discussing a widow and her ksuvah obligations, and we're going to be discussing today just really one topic. It's pretty straightforward. Happens to be a relatively straightforward daf. Last number of daf, especially in the 10th parak and 9th parak, were a little more challenging. Anyway, so the question becomes the following, and that is dereliction of duty. That's going to be our simple topic today. I appoint an agent to do something for me, and he deviates from my instructions. So at what point in time now is it going to be a significant enough deviation where it's basically going to be it'll be cancellation of whatever he did. In other words, if he made a sale and it wasn't exactly as I instructed him to do, so at what point in time now did he deviate to the point where that's it? In other words, any sales that he made are just simply voided because he didn't do his shlichus, he didn't do his agency. It goes without saying that if he purchased the wrong item, I mean, we're going to start off nice and easy. If he purchased the wrong item, I told him to buy one thing, he bought another thing. So that obviously is a dereliction of duty, and under those circumstances, clearly the shlichus doesn't work. That's easy. Where it's going to get more complicated, which is what we're discussing today, is let's say I sent him to go buy property, and I sent him to go buy an acre, and he bought a half an acre. I sent him to buy a half an acre, and he bought an acre. Now, I know that second case sounds funny, but in a moment, stay tuned. We're going to come back to that second case, but right now that's the case. That's what is under discussion. Yesterday, right in the middle of Tzadi Chesem and Beis, the Gemara formulates the question: Ibai Lahu. You could see it inside in the Gemara. We're not starting here because we already went through the one proof yesterday, so we're just going to go. We're going to jump right to the second proof. But I just want to read the Gemara's question inside Tzadi Chesem and Beis. It's about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Ibai Lahu Amrle Zaven Le Litcha VaAzav Zaven Le Kure. So I told him, I instruct him to go ahead and purchase a half an acre. And what does he do? He goes ahead and he purchases a full acre. So under those circumstances now, we're going in the other direction. In other words, the Zavin is to sell. So I want you to sell for me a full acre. And what he does is he sells for me a half an acre. Okay. But regardless, the point is that now is that considered a total deviation of what I instruct him to do, not a total, but enough of a deviation of what I instruct him to do. So now basically the shlichus is no longer valid and the sale is not valid. That is what we're discussing. That's the question on the table. Tashma. So yesterday we went through a mission of Me'ilah. It happens to be that later today we're going to come back to the issue of Me'ilah. But meanwhile, Tashma, the Gemara is going to bring a proof. Now, the proof that we're going to be seeing is going to take us back to our Mishnah. And this is traditionally how the Gemara works, meaning a question which seems to be off topic, but meanwhile, a proof could be deduced from our very Mishnah. So what the Gemara will do is that the Gemara is going to introduce the topic here, even though the first proof came from a totally different Mishnah Me'ilah, nevertheless, obviously a good proof, or what seemingly is a good proof, is coming from our very own Mishnah, and so that's why it comes up over here in the 11th parak of Ksuvas Tashma. Haisa Ksuvas Amana Umachra Shavamana V'dinar B'mana. So Machra Batal. So we're assuming that any land that the widow is going to be selling is done via agency, which is a pretty good assumption, meaning that the land belongs to the Yisomim, but again, she's entitled to land because she has a Ksuva and she needs her debt satisfied. So under those circumstances, so what's the halacha? The halach is, as we've been discussing now for the last couple of days, is that she has every right to sell property, to sell the property of the Yisomim. But she's doing so via shlichus. She's an agent. Now, one of the examples, the Mishnah gave us numerous examples, but one of the examples given to us in the Mishnah is that the ksuva was worth a mana, and she sold it for a mana v'dinar b'mana. And she sold it for $101, even though the appraisal was only for $100. I'm using dollars, right, just to make everything nice and simple. But so machra batal. So the sale is going to be invalid. Now, what exactly happened? Meaning the Mishnah's language is clear, but what exactly happened in the Mishnah? That's not so clear. So my love, d'zavin shavah mana v'dinar b'mana v'dinar. In other words, the land was actually appraised at 101. She sold it for 101, but her ksuva was only 100. Umay bemane, so mane shala. Umay afilu, afilu yamer sachzir sadina liyoshim bedina mekarkai. So basically, isn't the Mishnah's case the following? She was owed 100. She took a land that was worth 101, appraised it at 101, sold it for 101. Okay. And basically she said to the kids, here's what I'm going to do. Obviously, my debt is only 100. So what I'll do is I'll refund you. And not only that, she says to the kids, I'm not only going to refund you, but I'll refund you in karka. Meaning I'll purchase a dollar worth of property. Now this is where my dollars become silly, but still, I'll purchase for you a dollar worth of property. So if that's the case of the Mishnah, again, it's a proposal. The Gemara is going to go in another direction momentarily. But if that's the case in the Mishnah, so that's comparable to our discussion over here. Meaning, again, so the authorization that she has as an agent is to sell, but her authorization is only to sell 100. She sold 101. Oh, but of course she's going to go ahead and refund. So it's tantamount to the sale of a half an acre when the instructions were to sell to go ahead and to purchase. Oh, again, I'm confusing selling and buying, but it's the same thing. In other words, it's tantamount to the instructions were, I want you to go buy for me an acre, and she buys a half an acre, right? It's tantamount if that's in fact the case of the Mishnah. But the Gemara says no. I'm sorry. Let me just I didn't finish reading the Gemara's question. V'katani machrabatel. And the proof coming now from the Mishnah is that the Mishnah says that the sale is voided because she only had the right to sell a property valued at 100. She did not have a right to sell a property at 101, even though she was going to return the difference in property. So the Gemara says, I'm a Ravuna Brady, Rav Nasman, lo b'da ozel. So the Gemara says, nope, you totally misunderstood. And that's not the case in the Mishnah. The case of the Mishnah is ozel, which means to say that she undersold the property. Property was valued at appraised at 101, and she sold it for 100. That's what happened in the Mishnah. And I, of course, she's only entitled to 100, and she sold 101 property. So she refunded the difference to the kids. But the Mishnah's case over here is not where she sold the property at its proper price. It just happens to be she sold too much property. That's not the case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is that she undersold it. So she sold it less than its value, even though she was ready to return the difference. So the Gemara says, yeah, you think that's the case in the Mishnah? So Hamid de Sefer Bedozo, Havi Resha Bedolo Ozo. Diktani Sefer Isaac Suvasar Ba Meozuz, Machrola Zebe, Manola Zebe, Manol Achron, Yafa Mana, Vidina Bemana, Shal Achron, Machrabata, Vashakula Machron Kayan. Meaning, when you get to the end of the Mishnah, the end of the Mishnah is giving us exactly that case where she was owed 400 Ksuva, and she sold the first property at 100, second property at 200, another 100, third property also at 100, and the fourth property, she sold at, which was a $101 property, she sold for $100. So there, in that last case in the Mishnah, she undersold. And the Mishnah wanted to tell us that the sale of that fourth property is going to be batal. So now you're telling me that basically the Mishnah is repeating itself. Same point, repeated twice. Gemara's like, come on. You know, why would the Mishnah do that? So the Gemara says, low. Reisha v'seifa b'da ozel. So, no, the Gemara says, I'll tell you why the Mishnah would do that. Both cases is where she undersold the property. She sold the property for less than its value. So, Sefer Kamash Malan, Taim Adoza B'diyasme, Ava B'dida, Machra Kayim. What the Mishnah wanted to tell us is that, look, if she's the one who is going to be losing because she undersold, okay. In other words, that was her decision, and if it's a loss to her, so fine. But if it's a loss to the Yisomim, that's not tolerable. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but we knew that as well. So Hamid Dereisha Shamas Mina. Haisek Suvasa Masayma Machra Shava Mana Bemasayin Oshava Masayim Bemana Niskablok Suvasa. Remember the first part of the Mishnah? It was the first line of the Mishnah. And that was, is that the property appraised for 200. Meaning that this property now would have satisfied the Ksuva had she sold a dollar for dollar. But she didn't sell a dollar for dollar. She sold the 50 cents on the dollar. Okay, why she did that? Who knows? Doesn't matter. In other words, so the Yisomim now can say to her, it's the first thing we learned in the Mishnah. The Yisomim now can say to her, look, the property was appraised at 200. That property not only should have satisfied your ksuva, it could have had you sold it dollar for dollar. You elected to sell for less than dollar for dollar. Okay, that's a you problem. That's not an us problem. Meaning, as far as we're concerned, ksuva's been satisfied. So we already know that if she undersells a property and she's suffering the loss, So we already know that the sale is valid, and she's the one who's going to be suffering the loss. So the Gemara says, okay, Mao dite mahasam hudis talkale, mahai basal gamre vach, nigzra manavishana to manar acharon, kamash malan. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what. I still think that in both cases, there was an undersell of the property, and yet I still need both cases. Why? Because in the first case in the Mishnah, what do I know? What I know in the first case in the Mishnah is that the property was undersold, but you know what? That's it. In other words, we have nothing more to do with her. In other words, the property was appraised at 200 and she made a poor business decision. She sold it for 50 cents on the dollar. Okay. But you know what? At this point in time, we have nothing more to do with her. The ksuva's been paid out and we're done. Istalke me base. In other words, she's out of the picture. On the other hand, if now she's selling one property, a second property, a third property, meaning the end of the Mishnah. So over there, so one would imagine that if she undersold one parcel of the four properties, maybe she did the same with the others. And maybe there'd be more concern that the other sales were also somewhat butchered by her in terms of the sale. Okay. So I might have thought that. So kamash malan, that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach me. Okay. So what the Gemara has done is deflected. Meaning the question on the table is that what happens when you're instructing the shlich to sell an acre and he goes and sells a half an acre? So is the sale going to be valid? Is that enough of a deviation where the sale now is going to be valid? So, or voided? And so what we did yesterday is we tried to deduce it from a Mishnah Me'ilah, unsuccessful. And what we did today is that we try to learn it from a Mishnah Ksuvos, our Mishnah here in the 11th Perek. And once again, the conclusion, it became inconclusive. Igadamri. Halo ti baila chechadamr le zil zabin le lischa vizabin le kura. Devad emosifad varavavai. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, here we go, Igadamri, second version of the entire discussion. We're right in the middle of Sadi Testament Aleph. And in this Igadamri, about a third of the way down, in this Igadamri, the Gemara says, let's start off a little bit differently. Let's have the same discussion, but let's start it off a little bit differently. Let's assume that. If I give instructions that I want him, the shliach, to purchase for me, if I wanted him to purchase for me, a lischa, a half an acre, and he goes and he purchases for me a full acre, so, mosif al dvarav havai. So that's considered a hosafa. Meaning, well, the first half acre is exactly what I instructed him to do, and the second half acre, obviously I didn't instruct him to do. Obviously we'll void the second half, but we're not going to void the first half. Because, okay, good, it was a hosafa. It was what he did in addition to what I said is just that. In addition to what I said. But the first half is exactly what I instructed him to do, and good. And so that first half acre is in fact going to be a valid sale. Okay, so, but now, here in the second version, where we know what's good, but now let's open up the discussion to the following. I instruct him to go and buy me an acre, and he buys me a half an acre. Now what? So, my, mi amrina namale, de tavali abdalach, de lomitzach le zuzela matzis hardar bay. Okay, and once again, let me just correct myself. Okay, I keep doing this. We're not talking about where he's asking him to purchase, he's asking to sell. Okay? Sell for me a full acre. In other words, I have an acre I want to sell, and I appoint an agent to do so, and he sells a half an acre. Okay. And you'll see why it's important that we're talking about the sell and not the purchase. Okay, so under those circumstances, yes, no, deviation, sales void, sales valid, which way are we gonna go? So the Gemara says, on one hand, mi amrinan. It could very well be that the shlech can say to the mishalech, Tavalei avdalach, I did good by you. What? How did you do good? Dilo mitzarchelech zuze lo matzitz hardar bay. Because look, what kind of position is a person typically when he's selling off property? So he's in a position where he's in need, in desperate need for cash. Okay, so, in other words, people typically do not want to be selling off properties. Okay, property from the Gemara standpoint, from a modern standpoint, property is a fantastic investment, rock solid investment. And so typically no one is going to want to sell property. And apparently now the Mishaleach, who has plenty of property, but is also right now in need of cash. So he goes and he sells off property. His instructions were to sell off an acre, and the Shliach sells off a half an acre, but maybe the Shliach could say to the Mishaleach, look, I did good by you, because you didn't really want to sell the properties. You were just raising money for cash. Okay, you know what? You still retained a half an acre. That's one argument. On the other hand, the counter argument, Odilma, Amalei lo nichalei delishe sheishtari lave. So the Mishaleach can say to him, look, I know it can always sell off that second half of the property, but look, I'm much happier selling off an acre to one person than two halves of an acre to two people. Why? Because now having to sell two halves of an acre to two people, so that's more paperwork. That's not one shtar, but now two shtar. Every shtar is going to require, first of all, the payment of a sofer to write the shtar. It's also going to require two edim to sign on the shtar. It's process, right? And that's two processes as opposed to one process. So that could be the counter argument on the part of the Mishaleach to the Shliach. So we can basically argue in either direction. It's good that the Shliach only bought a half an acre. It's bad that the Shliach only purchased a half an acre. So good. So if it's good, Shlichus is good. If it's bad, Shlichus is not good. Okay, so where do we stand on this? I'm Rabbi Chanina Misura Tashma. So now, son Ladina Shal Zahav. So here we are back to Me'ila. Okay, so once again, like we said yesterday, you have money that belongs to Hekdesh. You misappropriated that money. So that money now that you misappropriated is... the person who misappropriated the money is now in violation of the Isser Me'ila. Go back to yesterday in terms of the ramifications of Me'ila. Anyway, it's an Isser to do so. Also note, we pointed this out yesterday, let's repeat it again. Me'ila is one of those rare exceptions where, most of the time where I instruct somebody to do an Avera and he does an Avera, I don't have the liability of doing the Avera. Divrei Adav, Divrei Harav, Divrei Atam, Divrei Mishomim. He shouldn't have listened to me. In other words, the Torah told him not to do so. Okay, so he's going to have the liability. Ein shliach l'dvar avera. However, when it comes to me'ila, so there is shlichus, but when it comes to me'ila. So I gave him a coin. So the Mishnah says over there, we're seeing the Mishnah inside, Tashma, Nasan Lo, Dina Shalzav. So I gave him a Dina Shalzav, a gold coin. Okay, and let's just go over our currencies back in the good old days. So a gold coin is equivalent to 6 salayim. Good. 25. One golden dinar is equivalent to 25 silver dinarim. But anyway, just say to yourself, 6 salayim. Amar lehav alei chalok. And he said, look, I want you to go buy me a suit for 6 salayim. V'halach ve'evilo b'shalosh chalok. And v'shalosh talis shnei amalum. And so now, with the purchase order, so now the shliach is taking the money, went to the store, and lo and behold, got a suit for 3 salayim. Now, the obvious question, by the way, is what's the quality of that suit if he got it only for 3 salayim? Hold that thought. And meanwhile, and now that he had 3 salayim to spare, so he decided, you know what? I'm going to buy him also a talus. And he bought a talus for 3 salayim as well. So the mission of it says over there says Shnei Malu that they both violated the Isser of Me'ila. Okay, so what we have over here seemingly is an excellent case study where my instructions were, I want you to do, again, I'm using a comp of our discussion, an acre, and he did a half an acre. So the Gemara says, no. Iyamart bishlamaki agavna, ose, shlichusu mosef al dvar av have, misham hachi balabais ma'al. So ela iyamart ma'avio dvar av have amai ma'al. So the Gemara says, okay, now over there, it seems like it's a perfect comparable. And in fact, you have to say now that he did exactly what he was instructed to do. Or at least, let's say it like this. It's not enough of a deviation where it voids the sale. So once the sale now is valid, so what do we see? We see clearly over here that the shlichus is a valid shlichus. The Mishnah in Me'ila says the Mishaleach is subject to Me'ila. So the Gemara says, Hachem ma'iskin da'isalei shavashesh b'shalosh. So the Gemara says, okay, but you're misunderstanding. What happened over there is the following. He was given a purchase order, and also he was given money. 6 salim to go and buy a suit. What happened was he went down there, and they had a sale. Unbelievable sale. He purchased a 6 sella suit for 3 salim. That's the Mishnah in Me'ila. That's what it's talking about over there. Oh. So in other words, the reason why the Mishalech is subject to Me'ilah is because he actually got the suit that he wanted. It just happened to be half the price. So he hachi shliach amaymal atalis. So the Gemara says, well, then what? Why is the shliach also subject to Me'ilah? Because that's what the Mishnah taught us, that both the Mishalech and the shliach are subject to Me'ilah. So e hachi emaseifa. So the Gemara says, okay, how about this? Let's read on in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afizeh, Balabais Lama'al. So the Balabais is not going to be Ma'al according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shiachal Omer, Chalak Adol, Isim Evakish Vata, Vesili Chalakatam Viram. So the Rabbi Yehuda counters in that Mishnah, and he says, I don't understand. My instructions were to get a suit worth 6 salaim, and you got me a suit worth 3 salaim. Now, if we're right that the suit that he purchased was, even though he paid 3 salaim, was really valued at 6 salaim, so then how did you understand Rabbi Yehuda's response? So the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Damim, the Amar Lei, Iaisis Li Bishis, Kol Shekin Dahav Shevetar Tisrei. So the Gemara says, no, here you can even understand Rabbi Yehuda. How? Because what Rabbi Yehuda's argument is to the Tanakhama is that, look, you got a suit and you got a great deal. That part's true. But in other words, I gave you 6 salaim. I wanted you to spend 6 salaim on a suit. If they would have given you, and they did, a 6 seller suit for 3 salaim, imagine if you would have given them all 6 salaim. Imagine the quality of the garment that I would have gotten for if you would have spent all 6 salaim. My purchase order was that you spend 6 salaim on a suit. That's what I want you to do. And again, the Tanakhama obviously would argue and say no. In other words, he wanted a suit valued at 6, and if it happens to be that he got a break, he got a break. Okay, but anyway, that's the way to understand the Mishnah and Me'ilah over there, Dekanami. And the Gemara says, and the truth of the matter is that when you read the Mishnah carefully, what we just said is a good pshat. Why? Dektani Modi Rabbi Yehuda Bekitnis Shishnei Malu. Ah, if we're not talking about suits where, you know, you go to the store, sometimes the suits are 50% off, so then we can have this back and forth. But what if it's kitnis? Meaning, what if the purchase order is to buy beans? And beans, as we'll see in just a moment, that are sold by weight. So under those circumstances, there's not going to be any discounts. You buy in bulk, you're not going to be getting any discounts. And so there, Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama are not going to be arguing. Why should kitnis b'selah v'kitnis b'pruta? It doesn't matter how many beans you buy. You buy selah's worth of bean, you buy a pruta worth of bean, since the bean is sold by count. By count, by weight, whatever the measure is, so therefore there's not going to be any deduction. And the so shmamina, so hechidami, and the Gemara just simply clarifies. So hechidai, the Gemara says that the beans are not sold by estimate, because if they're sold by estimate, so then if you would have given more money, you would have actually gotten more beans. So the Gemara says, good. So that's not what we're talking about. So Amar Papa Basra de Kaila Bekane de Amar Le Kana Bekana Bepruta. No, the beans are sold by measure. Kani over here is some sort of measuring tool to measure the beans. Anyway, they're sold by measure. Okay. So where are we right now? Inconclusive. But again, remember, we're in the Ikadamri. So in the Ikadamri, if my instructions were to buy half an acre and he buys 2 halves, so the first half is a valid sale. Good. Because, and what he did after that is a hosafa. According to the Ikadamre, that's a given. That doesn't even need discussion. What does need discussion is where I instructed him to sell or to buy a full acre. And what he did is he bought half. Or he sold half. So what do we say under those circumstances? Good, no good. So we're in the middle of deliberating. We had a Mishnah in Ksuvas, meaning our Mishnah, which seemed to clarify, didn't. We had a Mishnah in Me'ilah also seemingly clarify that it didn't as well. So where are we right now? Still litigating. So Tashma. So we're going to go back to our Mishnah, and we get to see this case again. So what happened over there is that the land was sold. She sold the first, second, third, fourth parcel of land. The sales of lands 1, 2, and 3 were appraised at 100, sold for 100. The land at the fourth land was appraised for 101, and she sold it for 100. Okay. Now, what the Gemara now is assuming is the following. What just happened over here? Meaning, again, she's acting as an agent. Good. It's not her land. It's the Yisomim's land. But she has every right to sell it because she's owed the ksuva. Good. Now, what should she have done? So I'll tell you what I think she should have done. In other words, if she has a 400 zuz ksuva, she should be selling one property to one buyer for 400 zuz. Meanwhile, in the Mishnah, what did she do? She broke it down to four different sales. Oh, isn't that exactly what we're asking right now? Where, in other words, I don't want more contracts. I want one contract. Isn't that the argument the Meshalech is going to say to the Shliach? If that is a valid argument, so why didn't the kid say the same thing to the widow? The kid should say to the widow, look, we don't want four sales of land. We want one sale of land to one buyer. Okay. So the Gemara says, Kedam Rav Shisha, Bere Dervidi, Bikatina, Achanami, Bikatina. So the Gemara says, okay, but you don't know what the context of the Mishnah is. It could very well be, and not only could it be, Rav Shisha is going to say this again in just a couple minutes from now, and that is that the four lands were not contiguous. If it was one large contiguous piece of property that she could have sold as 400, so in Achanami, she should have done that. It just happens to be that the layout of the properties is that they were not contiguous properties. And so she had to sell off a little bit here, a little bit there. Okay. Pshita. Gemara starts off now with the following discussion, and that is, Pshita, Amar Lech, Avelo Lishnayim, Amar Lech, Avelo Lishnayim. Right? If the instructions of the Mishalech to the Shliach is, look, I want you to sell to one buyer, and that's it, and not two, one. So it's pretty clear. In other words, I don't think I could have been clear in my instructions. And then if he deviates, obviously the sale is going to be voided. Good. Amalei le'echet stamamai. But what happens if I told him, I want you to sell to one buyer, but I wasn't, after that, I didn't say one and not two. I just simply said one. What would the halacha be? Now, it's a little bit strange. The Gemara now is asking a question which we have just been litigating for the last 20 minutes of the daf. Meaning, once the Ika the Amri started, we were asking exactly this question. I have a parcel of land, and the Shliach, instead of selling that one parcel to one person, went ahead and broke it up, and broke it up to different people. And the Mishnah, and the Gemara then just spent the last 20 minutes litigating, is that acceptable, is that not acceptable? One contract versus multiple contracts, right? Maybe the Mishalech doesn't want multiple contracts. And meanwhile, the Gemara now is casually asking, hey, what if my instructions were one, but I didn't say one, but not two? What happens then? What just happened to the last 20 minutes of the Gemara? So Tosfos is bothered by this. Tosfos on the top, Tosfos on the Amud Beis. So he's bothered by this very question. He suggests answers. It could very well be Rav Haigon says such a pshat. It could very well be that the Gemara right now is just simply reopening the exact same question. It just, you know, in other words, it could be that this was a different discussion, but we're reopening the same question. Anyway, Rav Huna Amar, Alecha V'lo Shnayim, Rav Chista V'Rava B'Rav Huna, Damri Tavayu, Le'echad V'Afilu Shnayim, Le'echad V'Afilu Lameya. Okay, so we have Machlokis Amarayim, where my instructions to the Shliach was only Le'echad, and does that mean to the exclusion of two? Or it means at least one person. So Ikla Rav Nachum Lasura Olagabe Rav Chista V'Rava B'Rav Huna Amar Leki Agav Namai. So now they go to Rav Nachman and they ask him. So Amar Le Amar Lehu. So Rav Nachman says to them, Lechad Afilu Shnayim, Lechad Afilu Meya. And his response is very simple, and that is that when I say one, I mean at least one. But you could sell it to two, you could sell it to three, you could sell it to 100. Amar Le Afagav D'Tashliach, Amar Le D'Tashliach Lo Kamina. So the what if the Shliach sold it and undersold it and underperformed on the sale? Are you ready to say it there? Rav Nachman says, no, of course not. And no, I'm only talking about the number of buyers. But in other words, obviously you need to get dollar for dollar in terms of its value. No, right? Kind of difficult to understand what the follow-up was. I imagine that what they're countering is that if you view that as a non-deviation of the instructions where he said one and meanwhile he sold it to two different people, so maybe underselling it also is okay. Or whatever. Anyway, Rav Nachman immediately rejects such a suggestion because, as we've been discussing, once you undersell the property, that obviously is a deviation. Amar Lev Amar Mar Eino Nala Karkaos Hani Milehecha Deta Balabais. So Aval Tal Shliach Amar Lev Letzkunish Edartich V'lo Lavusei. Now, There's no unknown when it comes to Karka. This is an idea that we've expressed multiple times. But if I'm right, I hope I am, this is the first time we have our Gemara here in Ksuvas telling us this. But again, there's many Gemaras that go over this idea that when it comes to Karka, there is no onah. In other words, even if we have appraisal and it comes out to that this property is worth $100, if somebody wants to pay $200 for him, good. If somebody wants to pay $50 and the seller's ready to sell for $50, also good. There is no onah when it comes to Karka. Fine. So that's true. But that's only true if the principal is selling the property. But if he appoints an agent to sell the property, even though there's no onah when it comes to Karka, the agent cannot deviate from the appraised price. If the appraised market value of the property is $100, agent can only sell it for $100. And how do I know that there's a difference whether the principal sells it or the agent sells it? So the Gemara says, So Tarm Kedas Balabais, Vimeno Yodea, Dato Shal Balabais, Tarm Bebenonis, Echen Mechamisha. So this is the halacha that we go over numerous times throughout Shas, and that is that if I'm acting as somebody's agent to take off truma, take off 2%. A slight deviation, a 40th, a 60th, but take off 2%. Now, ilu gabe balabais the tanya tarm va'alabiyado afilu echad me'asrim truma so truma. And meanwhile, if the balabais takes off truma, So even if it's a wild deviation, it's not 2%. He takes off echami me'esrim. He takes off 5%. So the truma is going to be a valid truma. So you see that when the principal is doing something, so there could be wild range of numbers. Right. In other words, whatever he elects to do, that's fine. But if it's a shliach, so the shliach has a tiny margin of error. Anything beyond the margin of error, and it's going to be voided. Okay, so Tashma. Okay, one more time, and this is it. And we're going to finish the daf. It's a short daf today. So Tashma. Isaac Zuvas Arba Meyazuzay Machul Lezebamana Lezebamana Ulachron Shavemana Vidina Bemana Shal Achron Batav Shakula Machron Kayan. So this, and we already went over this proof as well. In other words, she was owed 400. She sold four parcels of land, each one for 100. Again, in the Mishnah, the last sale. So it was 101. She sold it for 100. Again, what exactly is that case over there? We went over that numerous times. But the point right now is that what she should have done is sold one land for 400 zuz, right? Because it was le'echad. Effectively, what the kids told her is that we want you to sell it to one person. And meanwhile, she sold it to four people. So Amar of Shisha Bere Davida B'Katina. So you know what's coming because the Gemara over here says Katina. In other words, there were four little parcels of land that were non-contiguous. That's why they were sold to four different people. That could be the case in the Mishnah. Okay. And basically, the Gemara does not arrive at a conclusion. Easy daf to summarize today. Oh, really, really such a pleasure. In the first half of today's daf, so what do? We litigated the case where the Mishalech's instructions to the Shliach were, I want you to sell an acre. And what he did is, I'm sorry, I want you to sell a half acre. And what he did is he sold a full acre. And do we say now on the first half acre, so do we say that sale is valid? Obviously, on the second half, that was not instructed to do so. But can we say that the first half is a valid sale and the second half is just simply a hosafa? Is it, or no? Or do we say that's it's a deviation of what he was instructed to do? In the Ika de Amri, which is where we spent most of our day discussing, under such a circumstance, we assume Hosafa. However, we are going to struggle in the second half, in the Ika de Amri, the second version of the discussion, is where my instructions were, I want you to sell an acre, and he goes and he sells half an acre. Under those circumstances, what do we say? Do we say that on one hand, he could tell me, look, right, I still left you with some property, you should be happy with that. On the other hand, I'll tell him, look, I'm going to be selling off that second half of the acre, and I'm going to have to sell it to somebody else, and that's a new contract. I don't want more contracts. So the back and forth on this very issue, the Gemara, after a lengthy discussion, taking us all the way to the end of today's daf, inconclusive on that issue.